As I continue my message concerning the promises of God, and as I go from where I left off last week concerning the Spirit, you know, we got to be very careful for us that are Christians and are Christians for so many years, and we have not yet got what we think we're supposed to have. And I'm not trying to label nobody, and I'm not trying to speak specifically to nobody. I'm just trying to go by what the Spirit is leading me to say to the church. Because if this is not you, you don't got to worry. You know, I've listened to so many men of God and women of God preach, and if it pertains to me, I feast. And if it doesn't pertain to me, then I let it go. Amen? And it is beautiful and it is profound when you could come to that point and understand, you know, yes, he's speaking to me. And the other time too, yes, he's not speaking to me. It's not a word for me. See, I cannot bring a word for everybody. I could just bring a word in season. Sometimes it might be for one person only in the congregation. Sometimes it might be for the body. Because we have to remember that God works individually and he works corporately. So I have listened to many men and many women of God concerning the Spirit of God. And sometimes it makes it so difficult the way they explain it, or it makes it so difficult like it's only could comes from the pulpit, that it's only the choir leader or the evangelist or the teacher or the prophet, or they're the only one that's supposed to be anointed by the Spirit of God. And I have heard this many years, it's not just now, and I basically think this is the time and the season that God wants to understand how much of the Spirit is in you. Because if you don't understand, that's perhaps exactly why you have not been equipped. Because you think it's only supposed to happen up here. And if I touch somebody and they fall, then that's evidence that you think it's in me. And I could continue go on. Oh, if I start today, shikalala chanda. Oh, he filled with the Spirit, which is all confused. And that's why I start off last week. What is the new birth? And I did not teach it. I was only going by what the master taught, and his name is Jesus Christ. He taught Nicodemus what was the new birth. And the new birth is when the Spirit comes and it dwells within you, because you have a new life now. And I showed you scripture what concerning to the new life, and I show you scripture how it happens. See, the Spirit of God worked even in the Old Testament. It was without. In the New Testament, it is within. So, evidently, many of our brothers and our sisters are still waiting for something special to happen so they could know that they have the Spirit, which is all wrong. That's wrong. Because if Jesus taught Nicodemus that when he has to be born again, not of the physical birth, of the spiritual birth, Nicodemus, as astute as he was, he did not understand what Jesus is talking about. And for many of our brothers and our sisters up to this date, they still have not grasped it. And I hope and I pray that it will forever, never, evermore be such in this church. Because for myself and Pastor, we take diligence in trying to teach the pure gospel. Amen? Because that's what going to set us free. Jesus said, "He whom the Son had set free is free indeed." So there is no mystery in the Word of God that is not going to be revealed to you and I if we use the right tool. It's like if you're making a pot and you don't have the right ingredients, you might get half a pot. You're not going to get the full pot. Amen? And I'm just using that for a very, very, I'm going to use an next scenario. Jesus says that we are sons. I'm going to go there, but I'm just going to paraphrase this so I set a foundation for you. Jesus says that, anyway, it is 1 John 1:12. It says we are the sons of God. Why many of us cannot understand that we are the sons of God? Why? Because we have not got to be treated like the sons? No. I'm going to draw an illustration, right? If I had my grandbaby and I sent her into the kitchen, I will exclude her from the knives and the stove. But if Pastor come and I send him into the kitchen, would I exclude him from anything? Two things. My baby, my grandbaby, is immature. Second, Pastor is a mature and grown man. And that's the reason why God is calling us sons, because he expects us to be mature. Now, your maturity only comes to how much you indulge yourself in the word. Amen? I'm going to leave that alone because I know you got where I'm going. Let me show you in the Old Testament. Because I know what I'm going to say perhaps is not going to be illustrated to you. But many of us still do not think that it is the Spirit of God that speaks to us. And we got to be careful, dear, because we're totally wrong. Let's go to Ezekiel. Set us foundation. Studying the Word of God, the Spirit of God, and many, many times I have heard it, it's a very misused statement made by many, many brothers and sisters. Ezekiel chapter 2. And this is not even the new covenant. This is the old covenant. Amen? Yeah. Ezekiel chapter 2, and I'm going to start from verse 1. He says, "And he said unto me, Son of man, stand upon thy feet, and I will speak unto thee. And the Spirit entered into me when he spake unto me, and set me upon my feet, that I heard him that spake unto me." This is very, very clear here, church, that the Spirit of God, and this is the New Testament, the Old Testament, where I tell you where the Spirit spoke without. That means he only had, like Gideon, like Samson, like the prophets, period. they were spoken to straight by the Spirit of God, so they can be ministers of the things of God. So it was individuals only. But now, because we have a new covenant, and I'm going to show you where you could see it and you could learn and understand, now the Spirit of God lives within, and not individually, but corporately. If you continue to read this, you get, make more sense out of it. Okay, so read it. I don't want to continue because I got limited time. Amen? I don't want to. Let's go with me to the book of same Ezekiel and chapter 36. And verse 26. He says, a new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you, and I will take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. Now you might say, Pastor, yes, you did say something there, but it went right over my head. Well, you have to remember that the Israelites were very stiff-necked people. Even though God had delivered them from the bondage of making straw, making bricks with limited resource, but they had to make them because that's what their taskmaster said. And what they said when they were in the wilderness, oh, you brought us, Moses, you brought us to die in the wilderness, might as well we go back to Pharaoh. And that's right there is showing that God needed to put a new heart. So when you get born again, God give you a new heart, and he give you a new spirit, not in likewise that, not the spirit that was in Ezekiel here. It's the same spirit. Because I'm going to show you further down to what I'm talking about. Amen? But I don't want you to get confused because here he's saying a new spirit. It's just a spirit that you have to understand that the Spirit of God is an influence to God's children. But in spite that it should have been influenced in the right way, they got influenced in the wrong way. Because in spite of God had parted the Red Sea and they walked across it, in spite of he feed them with manna, and in spite of the cloud by night he led them, they still could have not still believed God. I'm just illustrating that to you so you understand why they were called stiff-necked people. And I don't know if your neck is stiff right now, perhaps. Why you can't understand the spirit realm. But you could get it if you want, because all you have to do is make yourself available to the spirit himself. Pastor does not have to teach you. The spirit himself teaches you. And we're going to go there if we got time, because that is in Romans 8:26. He said, because many times we pray, but we don't know what we are to pray for. But the Spirit of God, oh, thank you, Lord. I'm not going to go ahead of myself. Amen? I'm going to try to take this thing as tonically as possible so you could get. Let's go with me to Isaiah. Thank you, Lord. Isaiah 61. I know for some of us already know where I'm going, but I need to do it. Thank you, Lord. This is Isaiah by the Spirit of God. Amen. He says, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because the Lord had anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He had sent me to bind up the brokenhearted and to proclaim liberty to the captives and to open and the opening of the prison to them that are bound. This is a mouthful right here, but this is Isaiah by the Spirit is showing him the Messiah, which was to come. This was thousands of years before Jesus came. But Isaiah had already seen it. Why? Because it is the Spirit of God who reveals the deep things of God to us. You might say, Pastor, why I read this scripture and I can't get it? Stop. Stop. Go in prayer and ask God. If you are a child of God, if you are a child of God, stop, because I need to get it right. Because if you are not a child, then that means you have not got the new birth. That means you are not indwelled by the Spirit. See, many teachers, that you have to wait for this time or the other time to be indwelled. You are indwelled by the Spirit of God when you give your life to God, when you make him the Lord of your life. Likewise, it was the same thing he was telling Nicodemus. You must be born again. And when Nicodemus got born again, it was not like he did not was born already by his mother. He was born by his mother, but he needed a spiritual rebirth. Amen? I want to make that very clear because it is important. Yeah, he continues and says in verse 2, he said to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. In spite of everything that the Israelites, they were going through, the Hebrew people were going through, they got so many prophets that came from Moses right down to the keep on coming down. They were spoken to specifically by the Spirit of God, or he used the word by an angel of God. And they got a word to comfort their people. But no matter what God did, their people was never comforted. Amen? You might say, let's go to the New Testament now. Let's go to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 4. Let's look at 18 and 19. 18 and 18 says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. And if you got the red letter edition, I don't know if the technology shows it. Shows it? Amen. Good technology. Good technology. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he had anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He had sent me to heal the broken heart, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. So now this is Jesus specifically is saying the same thing that Isaiah said so many years behind. But that is to fulfill the gospel, because Jesus came not to abolish the law, but to fulfill the law. Amen? Okay, so I guess that's a kind of foundation where I set here from the New Testament so that we could understand. Let's go with me now to the book of John. Hallelujah. John chapter 14, and we're going to start from verse 15. This is the promise that was made. He said, if you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter that he may abide with you forever. If it's with you forever, then why you are hoping or you are praying, or somehow you can understand that it's with you? Why, if you have a need for water, and a big jug of water is behind here, or the big jug of water is right with you, but still you're going to be asking that you are thirsty. Or don't understand that you should drink. The water is right there. Hallelujah. Let me read the scripture again so maybe we could get it. Amen. He said, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give ye another comforter, which is the Holy Spirit. That's what it signifies there. Amen. That he may abide with you forever. He does not come just to save you, to give you new birth. He does not come just to comfort you, and then when you feel good, he's gone. He does not come just to somehow soothe your aching pains or heal you, and after you get healed, he's gone. I don't think that's what I'm understanding. You say, Pastor, you got to prove it. Glory be to God. I'm going to take you somewhere else right now, but let's continue. He says, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive. See, the world can't receive this stuff. This is for you and I, the believer. And if you are not a believer, this is not yours. I'm just going to be plain straight up, right? I'm not going to try to cut no corners and say, oh, maybe, Because the word of God is saying it straight and plain here. He said, even the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him, but he know him, for he dwelteth with you and shall be in you. The Spirit dwelt in you and it shall be. Oh, hallelujah. You see it plain, church? Don't be scared for the Spirit. It's like somebody coming to kill you and you don't have nothing and the gun is right here and you or the knife or whatever you want to do to protect yourself, whatever protection you got. And you know something? You're going to just let him harm you because you're afraid to touch the, whatever is there for you. That's exactly what happened to many Christians. You got all the ammunition you need. They might come with the M16 or whatever, but I got John 3:16. You think they could touch that? Hallelujah. Let me continue so I make it more openly for you. Amen. He says, verse 18 says, I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Did he say sometime he might come to you, or is he explaining anything here when he will come to you? He said he will come if you accepted him. Which this here is a red letter edition, so you've seen here that it is coming straight from Jesus' mouth. This is not the apostle them speaking here, nor inspired person, which is he is the inspired person. Amen. Verse 9 says, yet a little while and the world see me no more, but ye see me because I live, ye shall live also. Church, because Jesus Christ rose from the dead. See, if we understand he came, he died, he arose, and he is sitting at the right hand of the Father. If we could understand these four concepts here, he came, he died, he arose, and he is sitting at the right hand. I very seldom like use the word died because the Bible said he gave up the ghost. Like use specifically what the word of God says so that we could understand. But many a part of it says he died. The word says that he gave up the ghost. When we understand these four concepts is what I'm trying to talk about, A, B, C. Not going to go to the DEF and leave that alone. Amen? Verse 20 says, at that day ye shall know that I am in my Father and he in me and I in you. Plain again, it's telling you, church, the Spirit of God is the one who have already saved you and give you the new birth. The Spirit of God is in you. Don't let nobody tell you you got to wait. No, you got to be indwelled. The only next part about the scripture that I could show you talks about the filling of the Spirit. But I'm not going to go there yet. Amen? Hallelujah. He said, he that had my commandments and keep them. See, you want the answer now how to work it, right? It's giving it to you here. He said, he that had my commandment and keep them, he it is that love me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. And I will love him, and I will manifest to him. See, we want manifestation in so many areas of our life. But the only way we're going to get manifestation if we understand Father, Son, and Spirit. Because he's the only one. Those three entities there, the triune family of God, are the only one that will manifest the true things of God for us, through us, to somebody else. God, I know many of us have a desire to minister. But you know what? We don't know how. We don't know how. Because number one, we are ashamed because we feel like whatever we says is gonna be wrong. But you don't have to be ashamed. Paul says, I'm not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation for all who believe. It's the power of God. It's not your power. It's not you. It's not me. It's the Spirit that is already in me. It is not by might and it's not by power, said the Lord, but it is by my Spirit. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Let me get this up. Thank you, Lord. Let's go to verse 23. He said, Jesus answered and said unto him. We're in John 14, verse 23. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words, and my Father will love him, and we will come unto him and make our abode with him. It's amazing right now if I ask you how much in your family. You unconk your siblings, your mama and your dad, or if you are the parent, you unconk your children and you say, would any one of you guys think that you need to conk the Spirit too? He said he's going to come and live with you. He going to adorb. Your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. See, we think this is a church. This is not the church. It's just a building. You are the church. I am the church. That's a concept there that is the truth and is a fact. And when we start to understand these things, see, the more, it's even with the things of the world, the more you know about something and somebody bring that concept up, you don't have no problem in standing up and stand for what you know about it. Yes or no? Or it's only me? Because if you start talking about bike and just bike guys are wrong, you're in trouble. You might have to walk away. And then if you start talking about Lakers and just Lakers fan are wrong, you see where I'm going? Likewise, it's the same thing once you understand that the Spirit of God is in you. When time comes, or you going to make yourself. See, many times we wait. If the time is right, I'm a minister. But if the time is not right, I'm going to wait till the time is right. Jesus did not wait for the time is right. Jesus says, I must go through Samaria. The Jews did not go through Samaria because they had nothing to do with the Samaritans. It was a longer cut, but they take the long cut. You know, many of us right now, that's exactly what we're doing. We're taking the long cut because we don't want to let them know that we are the light of this world and the salt of this earth. Because if we let them know that, then they keep their eyes on you. Then you got all eyes on you. But I tell them, keep watching me. I tell them, keep watching me, because the more you watch me, the easier and the quicker you are going to get converted. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Amen? He said, I must go through Samaria. You know why? Because he had the woman at the well that he had to meet. The same way, wherever God is, path God is taking you to, he got somebody there that you got to meet. But are you ready and are you willing to meet? Are you ready to witness? Because if you're not ready to witness, then you care less who you meet. Hallelujah. Verse 24 says, he that loveth me not keepeth not my saying. Exactly what I said there just now. See, if you don't love God, you care less to be a witness for God. Maybe you want to say you love God. No, because you're in somewhere with somebody. But God knows your heart. So you could fool me one time, and you could fool me sometime, and maybe you could fool me every time. But you can't fool God none of the time. He says, and the word which ye hear is not mine, but the Father which sent me. You know, this is where we have to be very careful to how we understand. Because many times we want to say something, and it is God-like and it is Christ-like, but we kind of feel like in our cut. You don't have to worry about if it cut or it doesn't cut. Because that's not your duty. Your duty is just to share the word. Let's read. Verse 25 says, these things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach it you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. That's your best help. Because if you try to think about what pastor said, where I think pastor me said, pastor, which scripture pastor me? No worry about what pastor said. Say, sweet spirit, reveal it to me, because he's your comforter. He's going to bring everything to your remembrance, and he will not only bring it to your remembrance, he will put the right speech in your mouth, because that's what he is within you. He said, out of your belly shall flow living waters. Thank you, Lord. Let me continue so I could finish up the scripture. Peace, he said, I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. Stop being afraid. Stop being troubled. Many of us don't want to speak the things of God because we are afraid. You don't need to be afraid. All you need to do is to yield. Verse 28 says, ye have heard now, I said unto you, I go away and come again unto you. If ye love me, ye would rejoice, because I say I go unto my Father, for my Father is greater than I. And now I have told you before it come to pass, that when it come to pass, ye might believe. Hereafter I will not, and this we know that it was the enemy. It was not nobody that need to hear what the gospel was and is, which is Satan himself. And trust me, Satan know the word. Because if he know the word, if he didn't know the word, he would have not quoted to Jesus in Matthew 4 when he went up to be tempted. Amen? Let's go to the scripture that we read this morning, which was Romans. I'm going to break up a little bit more after you, and then I'll close. Because I have so much food. So much food is in the Word of God. Too often, we listen to Tom, Dick, and Harry. Instead of study the Word and see what the Word says. Because look what Romans 8:1 says. He said, There is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, once you have already got your new birth, the Spirit is in you, and the Spirit is there to do with you the things that are pleasing to God. Jesus says, Father, not my will be done, but yours. And once you allow the Spirit of God, it is the Spirit of God will give you a desire. Let's see more, because let's see what gets in our way. You're going to see it here very careful. He said, for the law of the Spirit is life in Christ. Jesus had made me free from the law of sin and death. The law of sin was the law that was given to Moses. And none of us can keep the law. Because if they could have kept the law, then Jesus would have not had to come. Amen? He said, for that the law could not do, in that it was weak to the flesh, God sent his only Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin condemned sin in the flesh. See, Jesus came as a man. He walked this earth as a man. He did everything you and I did. He slept, he used the bathroom, he ate, he did everything as you and him do. And that's why he came. And that's what the Bible is saying here. He came in the flesh. So that he could have. You know, we all have a terminal condition. He said, Pastor, what are you saying? I'm not sick. I'm big and healthy. We all have a terminal sickness if we have not given our life to Jesus. And that sickness is sin. For all, Romans 3:23, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's continue so you see a little bit more about. He says that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us who walk not after the flesh but after the Spirit. See, if you still have those fleshly desires and fleshly whatever, you are not allowing that Spirit that is within you take full control of you. You are still allowing your flesh to take control. Remember, I did once when I had one person on this side and another person on this side. You have body, soul, and spirit. Or spirit is in the middle, the body is on one side, and the soul. And they all are pulling your spirit. There's a tug this side, there's a tug this side, and your spirit is in the middle. And you know something? Many times for the Christians, and I'm going to say the Christians, is we allow for either the body or the soul to win. And we say, Spirit, wait, when I have the time, I want to come back. We must always make sure the Spirit wins. Because when the Spirit wins, that let me read more for you. Let me read more for you. Hallelujah. Verse 5 says, for they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. Very clear, church. Listen to it. Yeah, break it. Yeah, break it down even a little more. Yeah, give you in a one sense. He said, for to be carnal minded is death, but to be spiritual minded is life and peace. How many times have you been troubled? How many times you say, man, I don't know what kind of life I live. It's because you live it in the flesh. Why everything trouble you when you're supposed to have life and peace? It's because you're not allowing the Spirit that give you the new birth to take control. Because if you give that Spirit to take control, you will have peace and you will have life. And this life here, if you study it and you go to John 1, I think it's verse 4, it talks about life. There in the text, that life that it means to be, oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It talks to be responsible. You know why many times things happen to us? Because we are not being responsible. And the next thing it talks about is accountability. We don't want to take accountability. Our little acts, we want to say, you know what the Spanish say? He said, que sera, sera. But that's not what the word of God is saying. He says, study to show yourself approved, rightly dividing the word of truth. Rightly dividing the word of truth. Instead of you can't be like this, like I said so many times, I lean this side, and then I lean this side, and then whatever side I lean. But become a foot open, then I have more balance, so I could lean. God says, no leaning here. He said, either you're with or you are against. He says, and if you are against, you can't be lukewarm. He said, you can't serve two masters at the same time. Let me leave that. Let me continue so I give you a little bit more. Hallelujah. Verse 7 says, because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it does not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So the more you make your flesh take control, the less you could please God, or you can't please God. So then they that are in the flesh, see, he tell you very clear what it is. Verse 8. He says, so then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. He said, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so be that the Spirit of God dwell in you, now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. You can't straddle his fence. You can't be 1 minute with God and the next minute without God. It doesn't work that way. Either you're in or you're out. Verse 10 says, and if Christ be in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the Spirit is life because of righteousness. Righteousness is the right act. In other words, you are about your Father's business. Righteousness is not something that you and I could do. Righteousness is something that has been imputed to us by Christ. Christ became sin so that we could become the righteousness. He became sin. He who knew no sin. You know, the other scripture says that it pleases God to bruise his son. I'm telling you, none of you guys in here are ready to bruise your own child. And that's if you have. And if you don't have, I don't even think you even want to think about bruising your own child. But God says it pleases him to bruise his son so that you and I don't have to live a bruised life. Oh, hallelujah. You only get bruised because sometimes it's your decision. He said, but if the spirit of him that raises up Jesus from the dead dwell in you, he that raises up Christ from the dead shall also quicken your mortal body by his spirit that dwell in you. The same spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead is the same spirit that is in you and in me. And that's the same spirit that is going to quicken my mortal body and give me an immortal body. The same spirit that quickened Jesus that has the power. You know, I don't know who rolled the stone, but the stone was rolled. And Jesus wasn't in the tomb. It was done by the Spirit of God. And all the things that happened to Christ's earthly ministry, all those things belongs to you and I if we dare to make the Spirit work through us and for us or with us, because it's already available. I'm trying to make it clear to you, church, so you don't have to live, you don't have to live a defeated Christian life. I showed you where last week where we says we are more than a conqueror. I'm not going there. I'm going all the way down to verse 14 right now for the sake of time. He said, for as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. You are sons and you are daughter of God. Remember I tried to tell you earlier when I tried to make that illustration concerning my grandbaby and pastor? If I send my grandbaby in the kitchen, I must tell her, baby, don't fool with those knives. Don't turn the stove on, because you know what? Those can be dangerous to her, and that's because she's a baby. But if I send pastor into my kitchen, I'm not going to tell him that, because then that would be like an insult to him. You know, many of us, church, I'm not going to say this in no derogative manner, but you know, many of us are Christian, we are an insult to the Spirit. Why? Because we don't allow the Spirit to do what he needs to do. We want to do it when we don't have to do it. This is not by might and this is not by power. This is by the Spirit, said the Lord. If you just sometimes sit and relax and allow the Spirit, no, am I going to tell you should do that? No, because he said, seek and ye shall find. He said, knock and the door shall be open. He said, he wants to give you peace that passeth all understanding. So there are things that you must do, but there are sometimes that he says, stand. He said, and wait. But you know, sometimes you get too fidgety and you want to jump. So you jump. You know where you jump right into the fire. He says, stand and wait. Then the scripture go ahead back and say, he says, stand some more. In other words, he's saying, wait, because it's coming. It's in your direction. But you just haven't reached there yet. But sometimes we want to help ourselves. And then we don't allow the Spirit to do what he was meant to do for us. Verse 15 says, for he have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but he have received the spirit of adoption whereby he cry, Abba, Father. He said, the Spirit itself bear witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, watch what he says. He says, and if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If so be that we suffer with him, that we might be also glorified together. This scripture right there is so deep that we, many of us, don't get it. Because you know what? We are not doing nothing for the body of Christ. And if you are, don't get me wrong. Amen? I'm not speaking to you. What have you done lately for Christ? I know many people think, oh, me, I'm saved by works. I don't have to work. I got news for you. What have you done? Because this Bible says that you are co-worker with Jesus. When you go to work and your co-workers, do you work for them or do they do their part too or do they do your part? Or do you physically do your part? I don't know which job you on, but I know on many job you got the calling finger. You just don't even walk like how they walk, and the boss already know that you're not walking how they walk, much less are not working. I guess maybe you don't understand where I'm going. Church, if we are heirs with God and then joint heirs with Jesus, what are you doing for the kingdom? Well, last have you came to pastor or myself and say, Pastor, what can I do to enhance the kingdom? Because I'm waiting too. And I'm sure pastor is waiting. You know, I never thought about the movie night. Pastor thought about it. And he came and he said, Pastor Mendoza, this is what, let us do it. I say, yes. That's what you call humble. We humble one another. See, we are not here to compete. We are here to complete. And all of you guys, every one of you guys that are in here right now, male or female, because the Bible says there is neither male nor female, there is neither Jew nor Greek. It says we are all one in the body of Christ. All of we in here, we are not to compete with each other. We are here to complete the gospel. And if we are co-workers with Christ, then we are all sent to take the news, the good news, which is the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And I'm going to close. Because I have another profound statement I can make to you if I take you to John 15, where Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branch. He says, I'm in you and you are in me. Read 15. Read chapter 15 and you're going to see how close God bring you into his kingdom. How close God got you into his kingdom. How you are an intricate part for the kingdom to come. This kingdom on earth. Because he have already brought it, but he have put you in control. That's why the scripture just now says, you are read it. Church. Glory be to God.